Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
5 at 5 brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
It's 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Molly Hall. 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall starts now.
Where is your level of trust in Theo Epstein? Should Epstein be committed to getting something in return for Chris Bryant before he walks away in 2021, or committed to trying to win another World Series before Bryant enters free agency?
Well, I have a lot of trust in Theo Epstein. I have endless trust in Theo Epstein, and I think that that he's going to understand that he has to get the right deal or he's not going to make it. I don't think this is strictly a salary dump. I think he understands that that he's got a really great player on his hands, and the opportunity to make a deal has to include a great payoff. And by all accounts, they have been asking for too much. And by all accounts, they haven't got a deal done because they're seeking the maximum return. So I think that's the way he's going to go about it. I think if they're not blown away by it, they're not just going to dump the player, try to get rid of a contract with him, whatever it might be. I think they understand how good Chris Bryant is, and I think there is a very good chance that they don't get something done. I think they want to get a trade done. I think they want to trade him, and I think they feel they can't extend him, and they're too far apart on the money, and I understand why they feel that way, because guess what? They're probably too far apart on the money. So I have faith in Theo to get a decent deal out of it, and I don't think he should make the move unless he does. Unless you get what you're looking for, don't trade a generational talent.
You know, I have a lot of confidence in Theo Epstein. I think he's the best sports executive in town, and I think he has the background and the resume and the rings to support that idea. But it's not unconditional, and I'm not sure it's not forever. You know, I think that you are in a prove it mode, and it has been a while now since, you know, the Cubs had in 2016 the core that you thought was going to be able to win multiple championships, as they always talk about. And now the rhetoric has been, and I think the Cubs have, you know, shaped it this way because of Theo, because of the direction they're headed, that they have to get rid of Chris Bryant before he walks away for nothing. They have to get something in return for fear of him leaving, you know, then leaving them empty-handed. You could frame it the other way, and you could frame it that before he leaves and you run the risk of letting him walk out of town, go for it for 2021, because this is the window that you have to win another championship, because you don't want to squander this opportunity. So you're going to maybe overspend, or you're going to make trades that are in the now more than think, you know, the present over the future. It's all about the way you want to approach it. And I respect the way he's approaching it, but it hasn't worked yet. And they've been really dormant and stagnant, and all those, you know, have to get out Dustin's thesaurus. You can look at the same word and find different adjectives to describe the inactivity of the Cubs this offseason. I'd be almost behind it. And I think he could have framed it the way that you're going for it now, and the players would appreciate that. In a town, you have the talent, you could justify going out and getting an expensive free agent, making another trade to go for it now. So I'm kind of on the fence here. If I were a jury, I would be deliberating right now in how much I believe in Theo Epstein moving forward.
Yeah, his inactivity, his idleness, his lethargy, his... no, I won't go
there
into
go,
all the rest of the synonyms there. I still have trust and faith in Theo Epstein. I think his resume and what he has accomplished over his career speaks for itself. And no executive in sports is perfect. There's always going to be hits. There's going to be misses. Even the best ones are going to have misses. They just seem like there's been more misses accumulating over the past few years. It's kind of like when you're playing poker and you go on a great run, you think you're never going to lose a hand, and then you lose the next 10 hands in a row, and you sign Kimbrel and Morrow and Chatwood and Hayward and Darvish, and you draft Elmora and Ian Happ, and you trade away Eloy and Dylan Cease, and you sign Daniel Descalso. So you've lost a lot of hands in a row here, but that doesn't mean that it negates everything you've done in the past. I think Theo Epstein is still a really bright guy. He's still one of the better baseball minds. I think if you're putting together a top 3, 4, 5 of guys you'd want building a baseball team, he would absolutely still be up there. Should they be committed to getting something in return to Chris Bryant before he walks away? See, that's the tricky one right there. The Washington Nationals let Anthony Rendon's contract run out, and they lost him for nothing, and they were able to win a World Series. That is seemingly the exception now and not the rule, as Bryant is on the block and Mookie Betts was traded to the Dodgers. It's all about how the organization wants to go about it, and whether it's the ownership, whether it's Theo trying to cash in on something and try to restock the coffers for the future. It's just the path that they've chosen to take here. Just what I've been wondering, and I was talking to Connor about this yesterday. They don't want to pay Chris Bryant, apparently. I don't think that they're going to pay Javi Baez $200 million, as dynamic and great as he is defensively. I think his approach at the plate is too one-dimensional and predictable. I don't think they want to pay Wilson Contreras $200 million because he misses 30, 40, 50 games every single season, and he might not be a catcher. If you're not going to pay any of these three guys, who are you going to pay? That's the question I've been wondering, and maybe that's a separate conversation for a separate time, but I was thinking about it yesterday. You got to pay one of these guys, right? And if you're not going to pay Bryant, then where is the money going to go?
I still have a lot of trust in Theo Epstein, and here's why. I mean, Theo Epstein is restricted to and beholden to Tom Ricketts and the baseball budget set by him. So we can criticize Theo for not making moves so far and not making any big splashy moves and not spending money, but I'm not going to put all the fault of not opening up the purse strings all on Theo. So I still have a lot of trust in him, and I do think that the Cubs should be committed to trying to win another World Series before Chris Bryant enters free agency. We're making an assumption that Chris Bryant won't sign with the Cubs, and it's just not going to happen, which is the assumption that was made with the Red Sox and Mookie Betts.
Cubs are making that assumption, though,
yeah,
aren't they? By shopping
him?
They
sure are. They are making that assumption. I would love to see them work out some kind of deal. If anybody deserves big money from a team that he came up with, it's Chris Bryant. I would have loved to see Mookie Betts stay with the Red Sox and see him get a big payday from the team he came up with. I love to see a guy grow within an organization, and we're seeing less and less of that. And I would love to see the narrative get flipped and Chris Bryant stay with the Cubs.
This is tricky. I don't think there's any argument. David brought it up in his answer. I mean, Theo Epstein is the best executive in town. I think that we could all probably agree on that. If not, he's right there. If he's not the best, he's right there, front pew in the church. Okay, but where my trust level, if that's the right word, wavered a bit, it's Craig Kimbrel. I don't like, and now, you know, how involved was David Ross on that? I don't think they were last year. I don't think they were Craig Kimbrel away from competing for the National League pennant. I don't think they were, and not okay. I like the idea of taking risk. I'm a risk taker. I like putting all your chips in the middle and betting on something, but not
Cowboy baby.
But not next year's chips and the years after's chips. Like when they gave him that extra dough that I don't think they needed in order to get him. That's where I think they faltered. We're all assuming that he's walking away in 2021. This is it. This is the end of it. Why is that? Where is he going? He's going to the NFL. He's going to
because
the
Cubs
sector.
Keep telling us that by letting this continue. This conversation is ongoing. They're letting it go on. So
but
that's
David,
why
I went to the 11th hour the last time. We lived it. We were right here too. You lived it. We all lived it. And him and Tom went out for a steak, and it got done in 10 seconds. And at least that's how they both made it out after it got done. Like the last thing we're worried about is getting another deal done. But if and this is how you're going to find out. If he's here to stay, then I think Chris Bryant is out of here. And if he's not going anywhere, then I think Chris Bryant's going to stay because he wants to win. Unless there's some handshake deal behind closed doors that Jed is getting the job when he walks away. So that changes things too. This is so TBD, it's unbelievable.
I don't quite get the question.
Brandon Morrow leads the list of non-roster invitees to Cubs training camp. Is he the most intriguing name overall? Why or why not?
The most intriguing, maybe the only intriguing name among the list. You could make the argument for a Josh Fegley, maybe. A good old former White Sox.
That's what Hawk would say.
Yeah,
I love Josh Fegley.
I love Josh Fegley. I think he's actually pride of Indiana State. He might be a Sycamore. Is that right, Kebbo? So,
I could make
that argument. Oscar De La Cruz, maybe a little bit intriguing. But Brandon Morrow is a $21 million mistake who has not pitched an inning, faced a batter, since July 15th, 2018. That's a long time. 35 games for the Cubs is all that he has pitched, and he was the guy that came here and is representative of one of those mistakes that Theo Epstein made that offseason. So if he can be healthy, if he can be consistent, if he can recapture something that he had with the Dodgers that appealed to the Cubs when they signed him, yeah. But I don't think that the other names on the list come even close to approaching intrigue.
Yeah, obviously Brandon Morrow has done the most in his career and was a really, really good player at one point. And it never worked out here, so it's obviously intriguing to think about. And it's intriguing for many different reasons. I think maybe first and foremost, the Cubs have serious bullpen issues. They really do need bullpen pitching. The name that jumped out to me is Danny Hultson. He is the a left-handed relief pitcher. He was the second overall selection in the draft back in 2011 out of Virginia. And he was taken ahead. I think it was Seattle took him. He was taken ahead of guys like Trevor Bauer and Anthony Rendon and Frankie Lindor and George Springer. And no one argued
and
about
Javi.
It. And no one said that you shouldn't have taken him there. But he had shoulder issues. I think he missed all of 2014, all of 2017. He finally made it to the big leagues with the Cubs and you know, wasn't good enough to stick around. But a couple things. You never quit on a left-hander, and a left-handed bullpen piece is intriguing. I just hope the guy has success because he stuck with it as long as he has. And he said, I think last year when he finally made his major league appearance, that he had to become used to failure. He had never had failure in his life. And that's really all he's had since he was drafted. Imagine being the second overall pick ahead of all those great all-stars, potential Hall of Famers, and you know, you finally make it as a bullpen guy for a cup of coffee.
He's the guy that cried in the dugout after his first appearance, right, last year?
I think it's just an amazing story.
Yeah, that's the next sports movie.
So that's what I'm saying. It's got like a sports movie feel to it. Yeah. So I really hope that things work out for the guy because I'd love that story.
Josh Fegley went to high school in Terre Haute, played ball, though, went to college in Bloomington. So he crossed over from Terre Haute over to IU Bloomington.
Oh, I know. I'm very disappointed in my Hoosier trivia.
Crossing enemy lines.
I got that wrong.
The 2011 draft, Mully, by the way, great shout. A ton of good players taken in the first round. Garrett Cole, Trevor Bauer, Anthony Rendon, Francisco Lindor, Javi Baez, George Springer, Jose Fernandez, Sonny Gray, all taken in the top 20. The White Sox did not have a pick in the first round because they signed Adam Dunn in the previous offseason.
Thanks, Kevin.
They had to give up their first-round pick. They maybe could have ended up with one of those guys. Imagine if. I can't be intrigued by Brandon Morrow anymore. And I'm sorry. I liked this guy a lot a lifetime ago when he was with Seattle and Toronto. And he was for a really high draft pick as well and had some great seasons, both as a starter and as a reliever later in his career. But at his age, the fact that he has pitched so little in the past couple of years, I cannot bring myself to be intrigued by Brandon Morrow. I'm wishing him luck. I'm wishing him all the best. They could use him. If he can get back to anything resembling what he was a couple of years ago, it would be a huge boon to that bullpen. I just don't see it happening.
I'll tell you one thing I didn't say when I saw this list of names yesterday Wow, I'm glad left-hander Rex Brothers is back for a second try with the Cubs. I hope he really makes the team this time. No,
come on, man, they need some more brothers in Major League Baseball.
That's right, brother. That's right, brother. No, I'm not intrigued by anyone on this list except for Brandon Morrow, and it's because of what he was supposed to be in 2018 and what he didn't show you. Now that he's healthy, maybe he can be a meaningful piece to this bullpen. And there's nothing that inspired confidence in you in terms of what we saw from Craig Kimbrell. So we need some insurance at closer. And either way, as Mully, as you brought up, this bullpen needs help. So it's a win-win if Morrow can be a big contributor.
So I'm going to go back to my bag of tricks from yesterday. Fascinating, gripping, riveting, none of those words, to my understanding of their definitions, fit with any of these names. Now, I appreciate the fact that Mully just enlightened me and my education continues on this show.
I used a thesaurus.
That's right. So Danny H., I won't butcher his last name. There's something there.
Holtzen.
That's eye-opening, right? What?
Holtzen.
Okay.
Is that hard to say?
No.
Danny H. is fine. Nobody knows who Danny Holtzen is.
His friends call him Danny H.
Okay. He is basically at 5 at 5 at about 5:40 this morning was he introduced to the Chicago sports landscape. David, when you answered the question, you had nobody. You had zero.
Listen, I'm not saying that.
You had zero. Because, you were just introduced as well. So
I'm not counting on him.
About Danny H.
Hold on. Danny H.
Danny H. wasn't in your answer.
Danny H. made Cubs fans cry last year because he teared up when he had his first appearance.
Okay, and you just.
Danny H. made Notre Dame
the globe that sits on top of my shoulders, and I remember that. But when I read the list of the 21 names, the only name that rang a bell was Brandon Morrow, okay? Mully's the one who just shook the tree and an apple fell out of it, and now I'm going to be have my eyes on Danny H.
You know, one of us probably should have talked about one of the infielders, right? Because they clearly are looking for help at second base. They're talking about Kipnis and Scooter Gennett.
Kipnis is intriguing.
Okay.
Right? Kipnis is interesting.
Scooter Gennett, not so much.
But he will be on the roster. These guys are non-roster.
Well, first he has to be on the team in order to be on the roster, right?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is
Hernan Perez might be the most notable infielder invited. Former Brewer.
Yes,
utility
there you go.
Man.
Thank you, Kevin.
I would find it riveting if he was at second base.
Oh, you madcap.
It's a great question.
It's a bunch of panty waste.
Are you okay with Danny Mendick and Leury Garcia holding down second base for the spot until Nick Madrigal comes up, or would you prefer a veteran free agent?
Yeah, I'm okay with Danny Mendick and Leury Garcia. I really am. I don't think that I want them to sign a veteran free agent. You know what I really would like is for Nick Madrigal to break camp with the big league team. I think he has to earn it. I think he has to have a good training camp. But I like the idea of him at the bottom of that lineup. I think that, again, we've talked about this before, he's not going to be the power hitter. We know that, right? He's not Altuve. He's just a smaller player who does not ever strike out. He takes walks and he gets on base and a guy like that can be valuable. And maybe in a year or two, he could be a leadoff guy. I don't think right away. I think that's putting too much on him. But I like the idea of getting him up and getting him in the lineup as a second baseman and going with that. And I think service time should be reserved for the Chris Bryants of the world, for the Aloys of the world, for, Acuna, I think, was a guy that was affected by it. Guys like that you're never going to be able to sign them again. And once you start that clock, they're gone. I think that Madrigal's more of kind of a top end. It'd be like a Dustin Pedroia type guy who could be, a big part of a championship team. But I want to get to it with him. I want to see him in the lineup right away. And I think Leury, we're going to need him out in the outfield a bit. He's going to split some time maybe with Mazzara. We'll see how that works out. I really do believe that you don't waste the concern over service time with Madrigal. I think you can get to him away.
Start the clock. I mean, that's not a concern you have with a guy like that, as you pointed out. This isn't Luis Robert. This isn't Eloy Jimenez. Start the clock. Bring him up. If he is the best second baseman and can help your lineup offensively, then you start him opening day. And, yeah, you can have veteran placeholders if you want. And there's nothing wrong with Mendick or Garcia. And they have probably a spot on the roster. They are names that are intriguing names on the White Sox spring training list. But nothing is more intriguing than the idea of having Nick Madrigal in your lineup on opening day, because he fills out that he fills a void, and there's a lot of anticipation and excitement for a reason. He struck out only 16 times in 473 minor league at-bats in 2019. That's a contact hitter. I don't worry about giving him too much too soon. I think everybody, when we talk about these prospects, are worried about, don't put Luis Robert at the top of the lineup. There's too much for him to handle. Don't put Nick Madrigal. There's too much for him to handle. I think at some point, this White Sox team is about development. And you find out what they can handle. And I think Madrigal has said and looked like a guy that can handle quite a bit. So I'm all for him being on the lineup opening day if he's ready, if he earns it, and if he looks like the player and the hitter we expect him to look like in Glendale.
I want the opening day second baseman to be whomever has the best spring training. I want it to be an open competition. If Madrigal is the guy that is the best in Arizona and he earns the spot, then I want him in there starting on opening day. If he struggles a little bit, he needs more seasoning in Charlotte, then give it to Leury or Danny Medic. Whoever plays the best should get the job. I think open competitions are a good thing. This is the only one, it looks like, in the White Sox lineup right now where there is a little bit of a question mark. It seems like every other spot is pretty much filled right now. Best case scenario, I think we're all rooting for Madrigal to get the job because he was a high draft pick. He was great last year at AA and AAA. He looks like he's ready. He looked like he would be able to make the adjustment more easily than other players because of his style at the plate. He's not, you know, hacking to try to hit 30 home runs a year. He's a contact guy, on base guy. That would be the best case scenario, but whoever plays the best should get the job. I think it's pretty simple.
I agree with that. I'm okay with Danny Mendick and Luis Garcia holding down second base. I agree with the idea that it would be awesome if Madrigal did break camp with the team and start the season, you know, on the major league roster. I think that would be awesome. But I also think that when you have a young player, bringing in a veteran is a smart move. Maybe the guy that's been tied to the Cubs, Jason Kipnis, would also be a good idea. I always think a guy who is a veteran at a position works well with a young guy. So I think they're all smart ideas. But if you don't want to spend any money at second base, I'm okay with Mendick and Garcia.
I like this Kipnis Madrigal idea. That would do something for me if I were 35th and Shields guy. That being said, I want Kipnis over at Clark and Addison. That's where I want to see Jason Kipnis play. The best guy should play. I also think, again, we mentioned this before, there's been so many good vibes going on for the White Sox this offseason. I just hope that they don't screw it up with the Madrigal thing. Like, again, he's not a power hitter, okay? Let the guy start with the big league team. Let's see. Madrigal is going to be in the lineup of the team from the South Side that makes it to the playoffs eventually, right? So if that's either this year or next year, let it start now. Let him get together. Let him find his place in the lineup. Let us criticize where they put him in the lineup. We're going to play lineup Easta all season long, okay? But I think that it makes all the sense in the world based on all the things that have happened that Nick Madrigal is the opening day starting second baseman for the guys at 35th and Shields.
That is an unbelievably great question.
Will Pete Rose ever be reinstated by Major League Baseball? Will he ever be on the Hall of Fame ballot? And will he ever be in the Hall of Fame?
So Pete Rose issues a 20-page petition for reinstatement because his argument is that because Rob Manfred did not punish any players in the wake of the Astros scandal and the Red Sox scandal, then maybe it's time for him to soften up against Pete Rose. And there's no logic in that argument that I can see. I still think that when you look at it, Pete Rose broke the most obvious rule in sports, and there's no really disputing it. He bet on baseball in games that he affected. So I don't think that there's any softening, and I don't think that he's going to get anywhere here. I'm not sure he's ever going to get in. And, you know, he's a rule breaker. This is not something that is even up for discussion in terms of debating whether or not he did or he didn't. It's just whether or not Major League Baseball has softened. I don't think it's going to happen. I think, as Dan Patrick made an interesting argument this week, Pete Rose has probably made more money off his infamy than his fame. So that's interesting to look at. But no, I'm not expecting him to be in Cooperstown anytime soon.
I don't think he'll be reinstated. You know, forever is a very long time. So will he ever be on the Hall of Fame ballot? I think eventually he will. And I think eventually he will be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, I'm talking 50 years from now. I don't think it's anything that's imminent. I don't think he'll be alive to see it. But I think that at some point, his memory will, things will fade in terms of the gambling. I think that that someday, he could eventually get in. But I don't see it happening in his lifetime. I don't see it happening anytime soon. I think this petition, you know, Pete Rose lied about what he did for 15, 20 years, right? And he's come clean to an extent since then. But, I just don't think anyone in Major League Baseball was amused by any of it. And I think that there are old grudges, and it's not as forgiving a thing as you would imagine. But I think that will fade. I think at some point, the steroid guys will get in. At some point, Pete Rose will get in. It's, again, either that or the world ends. I mean, you don't know how long forever is. But it's nothing imminent, and it's nothing that's going to happen probably in any of our lifetimes.
No, I agree with you there. I think if it ever does happen, it'll be way down the line. It'll be after Pete Rose is long gone. You know, I don't really care about Pete Rose. He was retired by the time I was born, I think.
Dustin's got some great stories.
I'm sure he does. But Pete Rose, to me, when I think of Pete Rose, I think of, you know, him being at WrestleMania and dressing up like a chicken and being in commercials and hearing weird stories about him and underage women in the 70s. He's just a creepy, weird guy to me. So I don't really care about Pete Rose. I hope he doesn't get into the Hall of Fame. I don't want to see it. He's a weirdo. Ichiro is the true hit king of baseball.
Oh, please.
Look, I understand that players did not get in trouble with these sign-stealing scandals that have come to light the past month or two, but these are totally different situations, okay, Pete Rose? What people are not doing is wagering on baseball games if you're a player and wagering on their team. That's not happening. You can make the argument that everyone in baseball is sign-stealing to some degree or whatever, but not everyone is betting on teams, okay, and betting on the game. So shut the hell up, Pete Rose, and sit down.
Manager. This won't shock anybody. Manager, I'm a big fan of Pete Rose. I think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I'd like to hear more later because it's 5:54 from both Mully and Kevin. Like, you don't want him in now, but you think he gets in 50 years. I mean, that doesn't make a whole heck of a lot.
I wanted him, and I said that's what I think he'll get.
I want to know why you think that, not right now, because it's 5:55.
Well, you know, that's part of their
maybe
punishment.
Maybe Joe Jackson gets in. You know, maybe this game in Iowa brings Joe Jackson back to the forefront, and he's forgiven for whatever sin he may or may not
right.
have
now,
committed.
If you can tell me that Pete Rose bet against his team, then fine. But if he's betting on his team to win, who cares?
It's a rule.
Who cares? Oh, God. You know, it's a rule, Kevin. You're supposed to yield at a yield sign. You always yield.
Hell
go to
yeah.
jail.
Hell
go to
yeah.
jail. Pay all the tickets for blowing through the yield signs.
I love yielding.
Will you yield, sir?
Stupid. And I thought there was an...
Why don't you yield for a second?
Okay, it's 5:56. I'll yield.
My last question for you is...
Does Derrick Rose backing out of the skills competition and Zach LaVine deciding not to compete in the dunk contest diminish the All-Star weekend in Chicago, and does it lessen the appeal locally?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does diminish the appeal locally. I think it does lessen what Chicago fans have to look at or cheer for. There's really not a lot of Chicago connections to the game. You know, you got a Laker in there that would never want to come here. I really don't see there being a ton for Bulls fans to kind of get their teeth into. We love a big event. We like it. You know, it's going to be fun. All the guys around town, you'll be reading about where they're eating. But I don't think there's a ton to watch from a Bulls perspective, and I think it will affect the way the fans approach.
Yeah, I don't know how much buzz there's going to be locally about the All-Star weekend. There's going to be a lot of maybe social activities that are going to be create a little bit of a buzz. But the game itself, the activities themselves, I'm not sure people are going to, you know, they're trained to look away from Bulls basketball because of how bad they have been. And tonight is the most marquee moment of the, you could say, of the year at the United Center because Zion Williamson is there. So that's nothing to do with the way the Bulls are playing because
they've been against the marquee network.
Well, they've been nothing because, by the way, they launch in a few weeks. But the Bulls have not been worth watching, and you wonder how the NBA fan is going to treat All-Star Weekend. How many bows does Derrick Rose need to take, really? I mean, the fact that he's not going to be here dribbling and passing, I don't think diminishes anything. I'm more curious to see how Zach LaVine does in the three-point contest. I wish he was dunking. I wish he was playing on Sunday, and we'd get all the three things in one for the weekend. But
trifecta.
The trifecta. There we go. Thank you, Mr. Wordsmith.
Boy, that's maybe the first time Dustin's
There's
ever been
a stretch.
Called a wordsmith. But I would like to see, I would have liked to have seen Derrick Rose back in the skills competition. I would have liked to have seen Zach in the dunk contest. It does take it away a little bit of the appeal locally and for me personally. And I don't know if you guys have seen the teams for the celebrity game, which is going to be the 14th on Friday. Darius Miles, probably the highlight for me on Team Stephen A. Smith. Chance the Rapper is the captain of the team, and Common is the captain of the other team. So
he was a Bulls ball boy. A
couple of local Chicago rappers there. That's all I got.
Chicago fans would love to see Derrick Rose. It sucks that he backed out of the skills competition. I would love to have seen Zach LaVine take another crack at the dunk contest, but it is what it is. None of you guys mentioned the fact that Chicago native Patrick Beverly is going to be in the 2020 Taco Bell Skills Challenge.
P-Bev.
But no, it doesn't lessen anything locally because people are there to see the superstars, and that's the bottom line with the All-Star Weekend.
Derrick Rose's involvement in the All-Star Game doesn't move the needle at all for me one way or the other. I will tune in to All-Star Saturday night to see Zach do his thing. In the dunk contest, I always like doing that. I barely can get over a piece of loose leaf paper, so anybody who can dunk a basketball, that's a skill that I really want to look at. So does it lessen the appeal locally? I don't think so. I mean, Derrick Rose is a fine person, fine player, but him not showing up to pass a basketball around in a skills competition that basically nobody that I know is going to be able to get into that game anyway. So I don't think it matters.
All right, that's the 5 and 5, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.